High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi-mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What is up, y'all? Welcome to the best bits. I'm Morgan, and super excited to bring on a show member with me this weekend that is a brand new triple dad.
Triple dad, yeah.
Because you're not technically a brand new dad, but you're now a new dad of three.
Yes. Yeah, and we are outnumbered, and we are overwhelmed.
Yes, it's Scuba Steve. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And we're going to talk all about the baby. But we're going to talk about some other things and dive into it. Because, you know, we got to hook, line, and sinker the listeners, right?
They got to
stay for a little
then.
Bit.
Yeah.
Just in the middle. Give it a little cushion.
Right. Give them the meat.
Yes, exactly. So we got to get started, though, because we got a lot to talk about. And coming in at that number seven spot, Anna Kendrick was on the show this week. It was her first time ever being on the show. And it was cool to hear from her as an actor and just her whole work and everything she does, and talked about why she never goes to see her own movies in public. Just a really cool interview all the way around. But we're not going to talk about Anna Kendrick, Scuba. We are going to talk about some movies or TV shows that you're looking forward to seeing this year. It's 2023. We're in January.
Yes.
We got a lot of stuff coming out this year. Is there anything you're excited to see?
As far as movies and TV shows go, there isn't any that I'm excited, mostly because I don't really know what's coming out as far as TV shows. I was on paternity leave, and normally I look at Netflix and what's coming up, mostly for guests and stuff. But I like 60% checked out.
Really?
It was nice.
Hey, you know, when you do have two other kids and a new kid, that's kind of what you do.
I have other things I'm excited about that are coming this year, not movie and TV related, if you want those.
Yeah, of course I want those. I'll give my movie and TV shows, but I want to hear yours first of all your random categories.
So my category is only one thing, and it is theme parks.
Okay,
there's a lot of really cool things coming at Universal in February.
Okay.
So Universal Studios in Hollywood first, because it's smaller landscape. They did the exact same thing with Harry Potter. They opened there first, smaller, easier to get going. They're opening up, and you've probably seen it online, Nintendo World.
I did see this.
Where you immerse yourself. You go down that long set of escalators, which, by the way, have you ever been to Universal Hollywood?
I haven't.
I don't know how this. So if you ever go, and anyone listening who has been, they're probably thinking same thing. The escalators, it is so scary. So Universal in Florida, it's flat. There's no mountains or hills, so everything's fine. But in Hollywood, it's built on like a mountain, a canyon. And so the theme parks and the studios are all over this mountain, and there's like roads everywhere. But for people who go to the theme park, to separate from the top part of the park and the bottom part of the park, there's all these escalators that are going down a mountain, and they're big escalators. We're not talking like 10 steps. Like, I'm talking like hundreds of feet, multiple ones. And I've always thought about this, like, how has no one ever fallen and like hurt themselves, you know, with drinking and and just it being a theme park and all that madness. And I don't know how I got on this tangent of the escalators, but I always remember the escalators being like, how has no one ever hurt themselves on this? This is so scary. And they say, don't sit on them. I feel like it's safer to sit on the escalators than it would be to stand on them.
Okay. That's definitely a new one. I've never heard of sitting on an escalator, so these must be pretty terrifying.
If you saw, it's one of those ones where you look up at it and it's like the stairway to heaven. It's so high up that it's intimidating and scary.
Yeah,
going up,
like
it's not
that
so bad, but going down on it or going up and then looking back down at it, I'm like, holy crap, how is this the means of transportation to get down to the bottom side of the theme park?
Escalator shouldn't be as scary as your rides at an amusement park.
Yeah. Almost like you would need a ride to get down there. I'd rather have that than take the escalators.
Like what are they called? Gondolas?
Or gondola, yeah. Less liability, I feel like,
yeah,
with alcohol involved in a theme park. But anyways, you take the escalators to go all the way down to go to the new part of the park, and it's Nintendo World.
Okay.
And that's the first one coming to Hollywood. Orlando gets theirs, I think the first one was overseas in China.
Yeah.
Universal in America is the first one. Then Orlando will be the bigger one because they've got more landscape to cover.
I was going
to
say, Orlando always gets the big stuff.
The biggest one. That thing comes in 2024. But this year, in February, a month from now, Hollywood Studios opens up their Nintendo World, and it looks so freaking cool.
I did see somebody I follow with an iHeart, they got like early access, I think, and they were posting pictures of it, and I was like, wow, this is insane.
They give you early access, or when I was the annual pass holder, like that would go randomly like on a Tuesday, and no one's there, and I was walking by Harry Potter World, wasn't open yet, and then some lady was like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, me and my wife are walking around. I want to ride some rides. She goes, you want to go check out the Harry Potter World? I was like, are you serious? And she like opened up this lifted gate and let like me and some random people go in and check out the world. So they do that a lot. They like surprise guests to check it out in advance.
That's really freaking cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You just hope you're like a lucky one.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody else there. You're like, dang, I didn't get lucky.
Yeah. Or you walk by and they don't pick you, but they pick somebody else. Like, whoa, why not me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That bitterness would kick in very quickly.
Major bitterness. So that I'm excited about, which I don't know when I'll be able to go see it, but I'm excited for it at some point to go see it. Hopefully go see it this year. And then Tron at Magic Kingdom in Orlando. Disney World.
And we talked about this one a little bit last time you were on, and I think it opens very soon.
Yeah, I believe it's, within a few months, or maybe even like this month in January.
Yeah.
But that's going to be it's a one-of-a-kind experience for that ride, I think.
Okay, so amusement parks. I like it.
Yes.
That's very exciting things to go and visit. And you know, I am talking about, so this year is my big 30th birthday.
Yes.
And I'm going to do it up because, you know, you only turn 30 once, of course.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking of going out to Disneyland in Newport Beach, and that being my 30th trip.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yes.
Right?
Because I like, people will crap on it because it's older and smaller. But I like it because it's the original. So you can kind of see, because you've been to Disney World.
Yep.
And it'd be cool for you because you did it in reverse. You could see the evolution of things from where they started there to where he took it and had more space. And of course, more technology and more money and resources to take a ride like, for example, Pirates of the Caribbean. Very different from L.A. to Orlando.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of those differences, and it's really cool to experience that.
Well, and I've heard that the food is better at Disneyland, too, which I'm excited to experience.
Yes, really, and it's all it's much easier to get to because it's all right there. You have what I guess is like their Magic Kingdom, is the castle part, which is on the left, and you have California Adventure on the right. And then all right there as you walk into it, almost like a T, you have at the base of the T is their downtown Disney and all their hotels and stuff. So there's no driving all over the place to go from park to park or like long commutes. Everything is walkable within right there. It's so cool.
See, I love that. And the whole reason I really want to go though is because I think it was last year or the year before they released the Marvel area.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what I want to see because I'm a huge nerd when it comes to Marvel.
Yeah.
So I want to go and experience that for the first time.
I haven't seen it. When we moved here to Nashville, it was under construction because it used to be Bug's Life and it was just outdated. It was cool.
Oh,
but
I do love Bug's Life though.
Yeah, it was really cool because like they made it where like they had like tall grass and you're riding rides. It was like a like takeout and you're riding in the takeout cup or whatever. Very cool, but it's kind of outdated. Marvel was definitely more on brand for where they're at now.
Yeah, for sure. So
we'll
see if it pans out, but that's my plan. That's what I'd like to do for my 30th.
Oh my God, so cool. There's so many fun rides. And then Cars Land is so cool with the Lightning McQueen ride is so much fun. And the Incredicoaster. Oh my God, you're going to have an awesome time.
Right? It's like the perfect, I was like, we can go out and hang out in Newport Beach and then we have like a day where I get to go be my true self, which is a total nerd, at Disneyland. It's like the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah. And Space Mountain's better because it's side by side versus a singular one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, you're going to have an awesome time.
Okay. You're like geeking out for me.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah, yeah. Can I go with you?
Yeah, of course.
Can I go in your luggage?
Yes, of course. So that's because I decided to go. I was like, you know what? I can't guarantee that I'm going to get married or that I'm going to have a bachelorette party, but I can guarantee this year that I'm going to turn 30. So I'm going to throw a huge party for it.
And you're going to Newport Beach, which is beautiful.
Yes.
The whole of Manhattan Beach, Newport Beach, Laguna, all that, Santa Monica, Venice. Well, Venice not so much because of all the poop on the ground and
Okay, that's an interesting revelation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the further you go up on the beaches, it gets much more seedier, and especially now it's gotten, the crime is really bad. So I recommend you stay Manhattan Beach and down.
Okay.
You're safe there. If you get towards OC, you're better. Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, Seal Beach. Oh my God.
I was gonna say, I've heard also a lot about Laguna Beach. I think that's near there.
It is, yeah. I think you have more fun in Huntington, Newport, and Seal Beach.
Okay.
Especially Seal Beach. It's like a hidden gem. Which is very close to Newport and all that. They have like a boardwalk and restaurants, like great brunch spots. Even Long Beach is really awesome now.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of fun. I'm really excited for you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. We were debating all the places that you could possibly go for 30th. I was like, what's not super expensive that people would be able to do it? And it's kind of like we can do an activity. I don't want to like spend the whole weekend drinking. I want to like have some good food, be able to chill out, and then also like have a fun activity.
Yeah.
And this is what we came up with. And I was like, this is totally perfect.
That's very fun. Yeah. And there's a lot of cool like comedy clubs that you can go to and see like people like, I mean, Bob Saget passed, but he would do this place in Manhattan Beach and he'd be like $10 and he'd be an act you would see on an arena tour. And they're there just working out their sets and stuff. So
that's
a lot of cool,
amazing.
Yeah, a lot of cool little hidden gems within the area you're going to be traveling to.
Okay. Well, if it gets a booked for sure, I'm coming to you for
all the things
to do.
Oh yeah.
Deal.
Yes.
Okay. So amusement parks was yours. Do you have
any other
amusement park rides or anything you're excited about that you know of?
I know that the Moana part is going to be opening at Epcot, but I think it's towards the end of this year, maybe, or early next year.
Okay.
My sister was there. She has an annual pass and lives in Orlando. And Bob Iger was there the other day. This is so funny. So she posted on Instagram and I was like, holy crap, is that Bob Iger? She's like, yeah, he was right behind me. And then he like followed us for a while, but not like intentionally. And then I was like, well, what was he like? What did you experience? And she goes, so we randomly were walking to Epcot and about to go to the bathrooms by the front entrance right there by the ball. And then there he was. He was just walking around saying hi to people and employees and checking on the new development behind the wall. They won't say Moana. He was like behind the wall. And she goes, he looked like a fake robot that almost like birds aren't real. I'm convinced Bob Iger isn't real. I feel like when he goes to bed, they plug him in and then unplug him, set him free during the daytime. His teeth are so white. His skin doesn't have any imperfections and his clothing is perfectly put into place. Almost like an animatronic.
Literally like Disney.
Yeah, which was kind of crazy to think about because Disney had these animatronics since the 50s that back then and even now are so mind-blowing and so realistic. What if this is their creation of... Like I know this is so far-fetched, but what if this is their experiment to have the ultimate version of an animatronic that leaves the ride and can move around and function like an AI, but like a really amazing AI.
And he's like in charge of the whole company.
Exactly. And they make him in charge of the company, but it's like a collective data and like it runs through like a whatever of all the things that we should do. And I don't know. It's a conspiracy theory.
Hey, I love a conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
okay.
But a real life animatronic.
Bob Iger. I'm looking at a picture of him right now and he does kind of look not real.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. What if it's a robot programmed with even almost Walt Disney's brain or concepts or ideas or idealism and that goes through a filter and an algorithm and it created this.
Yeah. Like maybe Walt Disney was the first of where it was like they're like replicating his genes or to continue on.
Yes, you can't do Walt Disney because it's too freaky.
Yeah.
So you create a guy named Bob.
And Bob Iger is a weird name.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So like, and Walt Disney's a strange name.
Yeah.
So in that same kind of vein of just having an out there name.
Oh, yeah. Let's start this conspiracy theory.
I believe in it.
Yeah.
And if it's true, who cares? I'm not hard to convince.
Yeah, but if it's true, though, who cares, though? Like you shouldn't be offended by it or whatever. People go, that's ridiculous. Like, that's awesome. They were able to create a lifelike animatronic that left the ride and can walk around and have opinions and thoughts and run a company.
Yes. Listen, I'm for every conspiracy theory. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love looking at the universe a little bit differently than we're supposed to.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is good. I like it. I like it a lot. I also want to talk about some things because there is so many, you haven't seen them yet, and some of these are Netflix.
Okay.
And there's so much coming out this year, even just, like Disney in general. Speaking of Disney,
yeah,
I'm excited for the new season of Mandalorian, which is Star Wars coming out. There's so many Marvel movies, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I saw that. Yeah, it was coming. Yeah.
Yes, like some really good stuff coming out. And then Netflix has a rom-com coming out with Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher called Your Place or Mine that I am so excited for. We're starting to enter, like, I believe, rom-coms are making a comeback in a good way.
Okay.
I don't think they ever went away, but I think the quality of the ones that we used to watch in like the 90s, early 2000s is coming back.
Oh, yeah, because that quality definitely went downhill.
Yeah, and I feel like we're getting back there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I love because Reese Witherspoon is like queen of rom-coms.
Oh, yeah.
Ashton Kutcher is also like the king, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah,
so perfect mix.
Totally, yeah.
So that one's coming out on Netflix, I'm excited for. And then, funny enough, I never watched How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, wow.
I didn't, which was like a really popular TV show.
It's huge, yeah.
But I did get into the remake, which is How I Met Your Father.
With Hilary Duff?
Yes, because I'm a huge fan of Hilary Duff. I just love pretty much everything she does.
I like her too, yeah.
And so that first season I watched, loved it. And the new season of How I Met Your Father is coming out this month.
Is that, I saw, whenever I see that, I'm not really sure if it, they go on Hulu, but it seems like it's also on live television too, or is that one only on Hulu?
You know, I don't know. And the reason I say I don't know is because I think I'm going to be doing like the free trial of Hulu to be able to watch
just
this. Because listen, I have so many freaking streaming services at this point.
Well, you have Disney Plus though, right?
I do have Disney Plus.
You can do the bundle where it's Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu, and it's only like $15 a month.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You should almost, if you haven't done it, and if you can't upgrade and it doesn't make sense, you should almost cancel your Disney Plus, get a new email or whatever, or use another email and re-sign up for the bundle. And I believe it's like $14.99 or $15 for all three of those.
Wait, Hulu, I've been paying a lot for Disney per month.
How much do you pay for Disney? Check your bills, girl. I'm telling you right now.
Listen.
This has gone way up, but I'm pretty sure Disney was like $9.99 and went up to like $10.99, but then they did the plus bundle thing. It was all three of those.
Yeah, let me look. Let me look at my...
Yeah, you may be getting shafted there. You may want to just cancel it all together and start fresh.
Maybe it's not. Well, okay, I buy the yearly because, listen.
Oh, you buy yearly, okay.
Disney, I'm going to keep forever, yes, pretty much.
And they do give you a discount for buying yearly, so that is, okay, that makes sense then.
Okay, so you are right. It's, well, for premium, it's $10.99 a month for Disney. So not as bad as I thought. It's just I always see the, like, $100 charge that I get come through yearly, and that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, here they have bundle plans. Yeah, choose your plan, the trio. Here you go, trio, which is Hulu, Disney, and ESPN Plus, $12.99 a month. And then the premium with no ads is $19.99 a month.
Okay, hey, that I can
do.
Yeah. I like it. I'm gonna look into this now. I appreciate you telling me.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm just over here being miserable that I have to keep doing the free subscription.
And don't buy Hulu solo too, because then you're gonna be spending even more money. I would just say probably better just to cancel Disney Plus if you can't add it.
Well, you know, and Scuba, this helps me because if I do ever actually have a guy over at my house, then he can watch sports. Because as of right now, I have zero sports on my television.
That's ESPN Plus, boom. So then you have all three.
That's true.
Well, if you want to watch sports, if there's a game on or something that's on ESPN or whatever.
That's typically why I don't, because I just don't have it. So I don't care to go like buy it. Yes.
True, true, true.
Not very often. I'll just catch it up on social media.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably, I'll be honest too. I mean, I like sports, but I don't, mostly because of time, but I don't, I'm not a super passionate sports fan. Like I have the teams that I like and I enjoy, but I'm not like where people that work here like Lunchbox or whoever, where they're just like, they live and die by it. Like, I just don't have the energy for that.
On in the background for pretty much everything.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying just it's not for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I'm the person who has like sitcoms in the background, like Friends, New Girl. I recently started watching The Mindy Project.
Oh, okay. That's a good show. Yeah.
Which I had never watched before.
It's an awesome show.
And I'm obsessed with it.
It's a great show.
Yes.
She's an incredible EP and actress. The evolution of that show is awesome.
Yes. I'm currently on season two. That's how much I've binged.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In 1 week.
That's a lot. Yes.
In all fairness, they're like 20 minute episodes.
Yeah. It was like 40,000 episodes per season.
They're so good though.
I know, they're awesome though. Yeah.
I'm obsessed. I'm like, why has nobody told me about this show before?
I can't believe you. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a great show to get into.
Yeah, and another thing that I've been watching recently, because I want to know like if you've binged anything.
Okay.
Even though you got a lot going on at the house.
Yeah.
Mindy Project was one of them. And speaking of rom-coms, The Wedding Year with Sarah Hyland came out on Netflix.
Okay,
one of their first new movies, and it was really good.
How was she as, because that's the one from Modern Family, right?
Yes.
So how was she transitioning from always doing TV to doing like a film? Is it like her first film?
I don't think it's her first film. Because I've seen her in other things, especially even before Modern Family 2.
Okay.
And I thought it was great. I think the cool thing about her that I like watching is she's so genuine. You know how sometimes you would watch actors and you're like, they're really fighting to play this character?
Oh, yeah.
With her, it's almost like everything just feels very natural.
Okay.
Just who she is.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt like watching her in this movie. It was just very much her.
Okay.
And it may not be who she is in real life, but that's how I felt watching her.
Okay.
Like, I could be convinced that that was her in real life.
But that means that she's doing a great job at her role, because you would think that's her. Whenever someone plays that role so well, whether it be good, bad, or whatever, you're like, okay, I won.
Yes.
Like, I forget someone we had on the show. They're talking about their role. I think it's the guy, I forget his name, but he was in Walking Dead on our show a few years back.
Oh,
and he was
yeah.
one of the bad guys.
The bald guy.
Yeah, Michael something, I think his name is.
Breaking Bad cast. Look, Google's great for this. Mm-hmm. Bryan Cranston?
No, Walking Dead.
Dean North? Oh, Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I'm on Breaking
show.
Bad. Walking Sorry, they all blend
it's
together.
Okay. Yeah, he's in the first season that he had the arm that he had put on or whatever. He's one of the bad guys.
Walking Dead cast. Who did we have on?
He was
from
the really
here?
Mean guy. Michael, I think his name was Michael something. But
oh,
he,
wait. No, that's a Michael. There's a Michael Rooker?
Michael Rooker.
Oh, you could have told me Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes, yes. Duh, I should have done that. Yeah. Where he plays that, always plays that, like that mean, tough guy. And then I think Bobby asked him, he's like, do you ever have that problem in public or whatever? Or do you want to say anything? He's like, no. He's like, if people view me as that, he goes, that means I'm doing my job because mm-hmm. in real life, I'm just this, you know, whatever, just normal dude, happy, nice guy. But if I evoke that kind of feeling, then I did a really great job in my role because I convinced you.
Yes.
So. Yeah, so it's a great thing.
Yes, for sure. And I think there's a lot of that now, especially with this one. I also watched The People We Hate at the Wedding with Kristen Bell
on
Amazon, and that was really cute.
Okay.
These are both rom-coms. That's why I say I feel like the quality of rom-coms is kind of coming back.
Yeah.
And both of these I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Amazon, Netflix, two different things. There's also, okay, were you a fan of the National Treasure movies?
Oh, yeah, I love the movies with Nicolas Cage.
Okay, well, you can watch this.
Was Nicolas Cage or was that Tom Hanks?
Yeah, it was Nicolas Cage. You got it.
Who's the one with Tom Hanks when Tom Hanks was doing it?
Thomas Hanks did National Treasure?
What, he did Thomas Hanks?
Excuse me.
Didn't he do some sort of like thing like that where remember his hair being like jet black and like parted back or something?
Yeah, but I don't think, nothing National Treasure related. It's definitely Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage is that one. Okay,
because he steals the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, but, so you can watch this with your kids. It's on Disney.
Because it's his daughter, right?
Yeah, not Nicolas Cage's daughter, but there's a National Treasure TV show.
Okay.
No, she's not his daughter.
Oh, I thought that was his daughter, his daughter or something. Okay.
Well, so I haven't quite figured out, because they drop one episode a week. There is somebody in there, and I'm not sure her connection to the old show yet. I haven't quite figured it out. Or the old movies, but there's a new one that is a daughter of somebody, but they introduce those characters right in the first episode. So it could be the blonde character in here that I haven't quite found her connection yet.
Okay.
That you might be referring to.
Okay, gotcha.
So
the Da Vinci Code, that was Tom Hanks.
Okay.
Which felt like National Treasure kind of, right?
Yes.
Probably like the same damn thing.
That's fair. I was so confused. I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Thomas Hanks.
Thomas Hanks. That was the best thing I've heard all day. Thomas Hanks? I think only his mother calls him that.
Maybe
his wife, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Although you've seen him, so maybe you can call him Thomas. Maybe when you took that photo
with
him.
We're on a very professional level, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Please call me Thomas, Morgan.
Oh, man. Well, the National Treasure TV show on Disney Plus is really good.
Okay, cool. I would love to see that.
You
should. It's safe for kids, right?
Yeah, you can totally watch it. It gets, there's definitely action in it, but they won't, know what's going on. It's not, bloody or gory or anything. There's just definitely some, fight scenes and stuff like that happen. But it is really good, and each week I get excited when a new episode drops. That's how I know it's good.
Okay, cool.
So
I love the weekly, because I'm old. We talked about this before. I'm a crotchety old man with things like that. And I feel like giving it once a week, it was always so special because then you had something to hold on to for a whole week and the excitement mm-hmm. of waiting for it and the anticipation and the conversation and the speculation. And then binging is fine, but on some things, I feel like, but some things you want to kind of wait for it and have that. I feel like anticipation and waiting and patience
mm-hmm.
is overlooked and forgotten. And it's such a beautiful thing.
Yes. I do like it that we're doing it with new shows.
Yes.
And I like binging old shows because it's everybody's already seen it.
Yes, of course that. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So I do like the balance of that.
That's the way it should only be. I feel like old shows should only be bingeable because they're old shows and they've already happened. They're not real time. And all new shows should be once a week.
Okay. Hey, you heard it from Scuba Steve.
Yes.
So if something changes, Scuba Steve's in on the FBI and they changed everything.
Yes. I've been wanting this for a long time.
That's what I believe. And then the last one, I watched all of the Mission Impossible movies for the first time.
Okay.
Yep, because
that's a lot.
A new one coming out this year and a new one coming out next year.
Like 9th and 10th, right?
So that's 7 and 8th.
Okay, very much
there's
almost
six
like
of them.
Fast and the Furious type thing where they're just coming out with so many.
Oh
of
my
them.
Gosh, it was so much better.
Way better. Fast and Furious is super corny and dumb.
Yes, and I didn't have any anticipation going into these movies besides the fact that it's Tom Cruise and yeah. they're action movies. That was
and,
it.
Yeah, and then you know that he's doing a lot of the stunts himself, which is even more incredible.
Yes,
yeah.
And I loved them.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Like, really enjoyed these action movies, and now I'm excited to, like, be a part of them coming out in theaters this year and next year.
And watching them, yeah.
Yes.
That's really cool. Okay.
Like, and I, one of my favorite ones was Ghost Protocol, if you happen to remember that at all.
Vaguely, yeah. I saw it when it came out, so it was a while ago.
Yes, and this is where Jeremy Renner gets introduced as a character.
Yes, I love Jeremy Renner, yeah, okay.
It just kind of, like, really picks up. It's kind of the middle of the thing. But I enjoy them. So if you're looking for, like, I feel like if anybody wants to see, like, a binging movie series.
That's the one.
That's what they should watch.
Yeah, it's a great, from what I remember, those movies are fantastic.
I loved all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
Some more than others, but I definitely love all of them.
It's almost kind of like the our version of like the, I know they still make them though, but James Bond, where it was really big in the 70s and 80s. Like the action thriller, and there was a bunch of them and a bunch of, yeah, the same kind of thing for us.
I haven't seen the James Bond, so maybe I like doing these movie series where I binge and like see if I like them still today.
And Bond, I think you like too because it's cool because the Bonds change over time.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with Shatner and
how many of those are there?
I can only, there's a lot of them.
I don't feel like anything's going to be as bad as when I tackled Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah, that's a lot. And that's also confusing because it's all over the place in different worlds and everything. James Bond is just James Bond. It's just different actors throughout the different decades. It starts from one. It goes all the way to the end.
Oh my God, no, there's so many.
Probably like 15 of them maybe?
It
like 12,
started
15?
In 1962.
Okay, wow.
And let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23,
24. Whoa.
25, 26.
26.
That's more than Marvel.
Wow, that is more than Marvel. But easier to decode what's
there was
one,
one of these
two, three.
Called Octopussy?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, yeah. We talked about it on the show, I felt like.
Do we?
Yeah, yeah. But it's easier for you to figure out the chronological order of it versus Marvel. You need a freaking map to figure out what goes next because there's so much crap on that.
Wow, this is great. Yeah, I'm looking at all of them, all the different like names of them and stuff.
That would be that's commitment. That's a lot. I didn't realize there was that many. I thought 15.
Okay, but are all like the OG ones really good or are they kind of like meh now?
I've only seen maybe a couple of the OG ones, but I feel like they're classics. So you have to kind of appreciate it for what it is. Like kind of like you're going to Disneyland and seeing the classic and the original. I feel like you have to see it because I don't know if they all intertwine or if it's important, but I feel like it's important just for the integrity of the series.
Yeah, well, that's
the
what
commitment.
I think it's really cool to watch movie series and just see like what has transpired over time. And that's why I wanted to watch Mission Impossible because I was like, yes, Marvel's so cool because of how it's been created and how they've created this whole universe. But Mission Impossible was just kind of standalone and it's just been such good movies that they keep making more.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like, so let me see what this is all about. And that was kind of what happened.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe. I don't know. This is a big tackle. Maybe I need to start with
massive tackle.
What happened in like 2006? Maybe that's like five.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I start.
That's a full project. That's almost like the entire year you would need to start it now.
You would think, Scuba, but I binged those Marvels in like a month.
Okay, well then never mind then. Summer break, you'll be able to finish it. Your flight to LA and back.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you got anything you've been watching?
So we did actually binge something. Well, not all the way through. We partial binged and we're now getting into towards the end of it.
Okay.
It's part of the 90-day franchise. It is called Love in Paradise, The Caribbean, a 90-day story on TLC.
Wait, so a part of like 90 Day Fiancé, that
yes,
kind
yeah.
of thing?
So 90 Day Fiancé is the OG, it's original.
Okay.
But then because it did so well, they've almost extended the Octopussy tentacles out and created different...
That word's going to throw me for a long time.
And throw the tentacles out and create different worlds within it. They've got the overseas where people from America go overseas to their love, which is the reverse. Because in 90 Day Fiancé, it's somebody from... Japan or whatever coming to America, and that's that part. But it's the reverse. It's 90 day in reverse, where an American goes over to Europe or over to Iran and leaves the American lifestyle, which is actually really interesting. Leaves the American lifestyle to go to their lifestyle, and a lot of them live in third world countries, and their family is like, "Why the hell are you going to live in the middle of nowhere Africa?" And I love him, da da da. And then when they go back to America, back and forth, the guy cheats on him or girl cheats on. It's so much. But then they have different other versions of like after the 90 days and single life. and they have Pillow Talk, which I hate that one.
Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk is the worst because it's all the episodes, but then they have previous cast members sitting on their beds, like commentating throughout the episode, and it's so annoying.
Yeah, that's not very fun.
It's not fun because sometimes they're fun, but sometimes they're just like dumb, and sometimes it's like you're talking over the episode, and I want to watch it, and I hate that's the worst one. But this one is interesting because it's the newest one. That's what they've given us. But it's cool because it's the Caribbean, and I love the Caribbean. It's beautiful, so it's fun to watch it. But it's always people going over to the Caribbean, different islands, for their love. And then now it's a different take of like, all right, you're going to come to America or I'm going to come to you. And there's just a lot of cheating and a lot of drama. And it makes me feel good about my life because their lives are such shambles. So I think we watch it for that reason. And we've watched, I think, 6 of the 10 episodes so far.
Okay. So it's like a reality show.
Oh, very reality. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was like scripted or if
no.
it was.
No. It's okay. Reality. I mean, I'm sure there may be some, you know, scripted, you know how it goes. Yeah, but it's full on reality.
Dang. And is it TLC?
TLC, yeah.
Okay.
TLC, 90 Day Fiancé. I almost recommend if you just like something fun and something like, because when it first came out, it was mind blowing. It was like, I think it came out like in 2012 when I watched the first season. You were like, whoa, this is groundbreaking. It was around the first time Married at Sight first came out. It was in that era. Mm-hmm. Married at First Sight, 90 Day Fiancé. And I remember watching it going like, whoa, they're just flat out doing this, calling it out what it is. Because a lot of them were like, he's a gold digger. He's just trying to come to America or vice or whatever, that kind of thing. And then it's fun to watch from almost like Bachelor, where you see who's still a couple and who has kids or who divorced. And you're like, oh, I knew that was going to happen or that kind of stuff.
Was the Duggars on TLC?
They're a TLC family too, yeah.
Okay, but they're not this 90 Day Fiancé.
No,
thing.
The Duggars is like that big family one.
Okay. I can't keep the TLC 19
and counting
straight.
Or whatever. Yeah. TLC is basically almost like a human experiment channel where they're like they kind of like, you know, put a glass cage around a family that's different and unique. And
was that also the TV that had Wife Swap? Or was that something else?
That was something else, but it was like that's the kind of stuff it is.
Yeah.
You got the Little People show, they call it Little People Big World or whatever. Okay. The Duggars 19 and counting thing.
Yes.
That's also where, remember the one Johnny K plus 8 was
yes,
on there.
And they had a wedding show where it was like you go and like you go
four
to
weddings.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that show. When I was getting married, I loved watching that. And they used to talk crap
like
about
one.
The other weddings and stuff.
Yeah.
You could tell who was like really wants the winner. Actually, you could tell who really needs the honeymoon because their weddings sucked and they're broke and then the lavish in the Hamptons and they get the free honeymoon. You're like, they don't need it.
Yes.
But that show was awesome.
That show
crap
was awesome.
Each other's weddings. It was so cool.
Do they still make new ones of that?
I don't think so, but it's definitely Saturday, Sunday morning between like 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. They play the hell out of it.
Dang, I need to get TLC just so I can start watching
it. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah. You got to have TLC. Do you not have a cable provider?
I don't have cable anymore. Xfinity?
Okay. Mm-mm. I think TLC is on an app, so you could do it there. Okay. Or a lot of their shows may be on other platforms like a Hulu.
The reason I had to get rid of cable is because I kept watching Hallmark all the time. I really needed to stop watching Hallmark.
You weren't watching anything good? No, I'm just kidding.
No, it was like I was just watching, you know what I mean? Like background noise. I still do it now, but that was that. Okay. I like this. I like this show. And this is a good suggestion for a reality show.
Yes.
Anything else you guys have watched?
And then the other thing, this is more of a kid related one. It's on Netflix. Sonic Prime. So it's Sonic, you know,
yeah.
Sonic is the little blue hedgehog.
Yeah, with Jim Carrey.
Yes, yes. And yeah, those movies. So they have they've had animated movies or animated TV shows in different versions and iterations. The 90s, they had like a 90s morning cartoon Sonic. They had an anime Sonic that came out in the mid 2000s. But this is like the next generation Sonic. So it's really crisp, clean animation, digital graphic animation. And it's really cool because it's Sonic, but it's got some like time travel / alternate universes.
Love that.
Which is kind of really cool. So kind of I watch it going, oh, this is really cool. And as someone who grew up in the era of Sega Genesis and Nintendo being really cool, and it's fun to watch.
Okay.
So I liked it.
I know, I'm all game for it. I love the Sonic Hedgehog movies.
Yeah, so I think you may actually like, if you like the movies, you may actually like this animated one because it is pretty cool what they do with it.
Okay, yeah. I like it. I'm game for this. I like your suggestions,
yes,
Scuba.
Thank you, yeah.
And I would also like to acknowledge that we have definitely talked about all these TV movies and things we're excited for 30 minutes, and that's fine. That is perfectly
fine.
That's
totally fine.
You know why? Because it's a new year.
It's a new year. We can do whatever we want. By the way, it's a podcast. This isn't time for breaks for radio.
I know. I just looked at it. I was like, dang, we geeking out hard.
Yeah, we got to play a song. We got to play commercials. Well, we do play commercials, but we don't have to play commercials by a certain time. One thing I want to cap with that, and you may already know this, but when you go to Disneyland, because you went to, I call it MGM, but it's Hollywood Studios in Orlando.
We went to Universal. I don't know if that's the same thing.
No, Universal is separate. So when you went to Disney, you didn't go, which theme parks did you go to?
We went to Disney World, and then we went to Universal Studios.
Well, we went to Disney World. Like, there's four parks. You remember which
parks? We went to all four of them.
Oh, you went to, okay, cool. Yeah. So you did go to all four. That's what I thought. I wasn't sure. So at Hollywood, you rode Tower of Terror.
Oh, I didn't. But my family did, yes.
Oh, dang. So you're not going to see the difference.
Oh,
what a bummer.
Dude, Steve, I'm such a baby. Listen.
I don't like roller coasters either, but I just jump myself into it. And once you get into it, it's the initial fear factor of getting onto it. Once you're on it's fine.
Okay, let me tell you something. Splash Mountain?
Yes, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? Which is a baby drop. It's like 40 feet.
Okay, I cried.
You cried.
You say baby drop, I cried.
Oh, then you would not be able to do Tower of Terror because it's constant dropping.
My family convinced me because they were all doing it and they're like, you will be fine. And and ultimately I was fine, yes.
Yeah.
But I was shaking and I was crying the whole way through.
Oh my God, wow.
It's not a fear of heights. I don't have a problem with heights.
Okay.
I have a fear of the stomach drop. I hate it so much that it made me cry.
Well, the only way to combat that is to scream as loud as you effing can. That's me, that whenever the drop comes, you just gotta, you have to let it out.
You know when you get paralyzed in fear?
That
was me.
Mm-hmm. But okay, but I feel like screaming, it releases the paralyzation.
Yeah, no. I was literally paralyzed.
Okay, wow, you were
there
girl.
There was a tear coming out of my eye and I was shaking. And my mom was just like, okay, Morgan doesn't need a ride anymore.
Yeah. Let's go put her on Small World. Let's go walk around, guys. Let's leave her. Ditch your ass.
So yeah, I don't ride anything with the drops in them.
Man.
But I did ride some of the roller coasters and I was fine. I did the new Guardians of the Galaxy. If they're upside down and stuff, I'm even fine. It's just when the drop happens that really messes with my nervous system. I just shut down.
So the difference in that is the Disney World is old. It's Tower of Terror was based on the Twilight Zone.
Yes.
The one at Disneyland is Guardians of the Galaxy themed.
I've heard.
And it's so, because I'm so afraid of those two. And I feel like the Guardians of the Galaxy version is smoother and not as bad as the Orlando one because they redid it. It's all totally refurbished. And the drops are really smooth. And then the soundtrack distracts you from all the dropping.
Yes.
And it's so fun and so cool. Maybe because you're in California, maybe you pop an edible and and then you wait 30 minutes for it to hit and then just go on it. You won't feel it. It'll be great.
Oh my God, I'll probably feel it worse. I'll probably be freaking panicking, have a whole moment.
Don't panic. Take a deep breath. Drink some water. Have fun. God. Let loose.
Listen, I'm not afraid of a lot of things, but that.
Okay.
Yeah, that
all right,
does.
Well, never mind, then.
But I did get to experience the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, the new one,
which is phenomenal. Like, that's the best ride they have out of all their parks right now.
Yes. So I'll take that. I'll just
focus
on that experience.
Yeah.
Instead of trying this new one and not be bummed that I'm missing the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
In California.
But you got the other stuff we're talking about, like the, what's it called? What do you like? Marvel.
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 Oh, yeah. If everybody goes right now, I'll be Marvel. I'll just be finding Captain America and eating some food.
And the food's awesome there.
Yes.
Especially if you go during, when's your birthday month?
It's October.
October? Oh, are they doing Food and Wine then? I don't think they are.
I think Food and Wine happens in Florida that time,
but I think LA is springtime.
That's okay.
Because
I was like, I could go back for Food and Wine Festival in Florida, but I was like, no, I could go to the other one and then you get to see another park. So that was ultimately what was decided.
Okay, cool. That's smart then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And their food there in general, outside of Food and Wine time, is phenomenal.
Yes, because I was not impressed with Disney World as much.
Okay.
I liked it.
It's okay, yeah.
And there was like a few favorite standouts, but not overall. Okay. I wasn't like, this is really good.
And you should be checking you have the Disneyland app.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool, good.
I know, so, I got experience with that now.
You need to make reservations for restaurants the moment that they open up. Because I know it's like, I think it's every 6 months, they go out 6 months. So you should be checking the reservations as soon as you can, because those reservations go quick.
That's a pro Disney tip.
Yes, like I would even check now. Like as we're talking, I'll look just for S's and giggles. I will look for you. But that was the one thing you have to do. You have to look at your reservations in advance because all those restaurants are very popular. And the one that's the coolest experience is in Pirates of the Caribbean. They have an actual restaurant in the ride. And it's like New Orleans cuisine.
Ooh.
But it's just such a cool ambiance because you're outside and it's like, it's bright, 90 degrees. You go inside, it's completely pitch black and you got the boats going by and really great food. It's such a cool experience.
Okay. I like this. I'm looking into this one.
Yeah, definitely.
See, all the pro tips. I appreciate it. Especially because I know people are probably planning their vacations right now. So we're getting all the ideas out there.
So as far as you can go is 3 months at a time.
Okay.
So if you're going in October, then what? Minus 10. So in minus three. So January or July. Sorry, the other J. So in July.
There was a lot of math issues there, Scuba.
So start checking around June, July for reservations.
Okay. I got you. I appreciate the pro tips. Like I said, I'm going to be coming back to you when I get this all figured out.
Annual pass. We used to go once a week. So I got all the tips.
Exactly. See, we're good. We got this.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We're moving on from TV movie stuff.
Finally. Jesus.
I know. Listen. Hey, I could geek out all day. But
oh, yeah.
But it's only on the things that I really like to watch. I can't watch all TV movies. It's just like certain genres.
Yeah, yeah, and that's okay. I got my genres too.
Yeah, okay.
See, mine's is kids and crap.
Kids crap and amusement parks.
Exactly.
That's actually what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming in at number six, Amy's son shared some hygiene advice on his personal radio show that he started, and y'all love hearing his radio show, so I wanted to include that one here. And we're going to keep this one short and sweet because, you know, like I said, we just geeked out hard for a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
But I would like us to share some quick advice because, and I'll tell you why, Scuba. This happened to me recently. I had to end things with a guy that I was talking to.
Okay.
And it reminded me that there's a reason why you don't ghost people even when it's really hard. I did not want to send this text message. I did not want to be mean to somebody. I did not want to let them down or, you know, I felt bad that I was essentially letting them go.
Yeah.
But even through all of that, through a lot of anxiety that I had and a full drive to Atlanta that I had to think about it, I still ended up sending the text and he was very appreciative that I communicated and told him. So my piece of advice is don't ghost, even though it's really freaking hard and a lot easier to do that than it is to send a text message.
It is. And I feel like karmatically and I think maybe therapeutically, it's probably better to cut ties. Like I remember my wife was telling me one of her friends who was a best friend growing up became a drug addict. And, you know, when you're a drug addict, you say and do things you don't mean. You're in a different state. And it was like that for years. And then as a best friend, you try to hold on. And then they get to a place where you can't anymore. And you've got your own life, your other thing. And they go down a dark path. And eventually their family, it's their responsibility to bring them back up. And she did. And then one of the things they tell them is you have to reach out to all the people you did wrong, especially the ones that were like your really good friends. And instead of ignoring it and be like, okay, let's start fresh and move on. They're like, no, you can't start fresh until you communicate to those that, not saying you did wrong to this guy, but people that you were with and something happened and you disconnected for whatever reason to, in this situation, doing wrong, you have to go back to them and talk to them and try to make amends. Not saying you have to be the best friend. In your case, same thing too. You don't have to be best friends with this guy, but at least cut it off, move on, and know that you cut it off and gave your response and had an
amicable split.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Having communication and be like, all right, cool. Well, deuces.
Yep.
Don't call me ever again, but you know now why and you are good and we're good.
Yeah. And at least just to your point, it provides a lot that you probably don't have to spend time in therapy doing if you just send the text message or make the call or whatever you have to do.
Which is very hard to do. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not like you're writing your name down on a sheet of paper.
Oh, gosh, no.
It's a lot because as you start thinking about
emotions are involved, people's hearts, and you just realize that you could hurt someone, not intentionally, but, and so that's my piece of advice. No matter how hard it may be, send the text message, make the phone call, do not ghost on people, just do it. Just end it if you need to.
Yes, yeah.
That's my piece of advice. What you got?
My piece of advice is don't have more children than you and your wife. Two and under is great.
Okay, I like this. And you know what? You're leading us in. So we're going to, that's our teaser.
Yeah.
We're going into this.
Okay, all right.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come along with me as I take you back to season one to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and, of course, drama. I'll be joined by some very special guests that'll be helping me break it all down. From award season nightmares to Fashion Week insanity, you'll get the real stories behind some of the most iconic moments in the show. The Rachel Zoe Project definitely changed my life and career in so many ways. The show definitely captured some of the most amazing moments, but also some of the absolute worst. I made the show for all the fashion lovers out there, and I'm so happy that people still watch it and love it so much. So do not miss this special takeover on Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Cannot believe I just said that. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is perfect because in at number five is us talking about Dolly Parton and her coming on the show. We talked about this because it was her birthday this week.
Yeah.
And these are really cool stories. And I love Dolly Parton. You can see all that on BobbyBones.com or our social media. We posted videos of it. But because of a birthday, you know, you had the birth of a child. That's my relation here. I need to hear all the details.
That's your segue. That's your tie-in. I love it.
Yes. And your piece of advice was not to have more children. So we're all starting off good.
Yeah, that is one thing. And I don't want it to sound like I regret having my third child. Yeah. I 100% don't. If I were to have another, in retrospect, would I have done it? No, I would still have done it. Because I still want more kids. Even now, having a third child, I think we could do it again and have a fourth child, whether my wife agrees with that or not.
I was going to say, I feel like this is one-sided potentially, Scuba.
Yes. But in the scenario that we're in right now, I have it being 2 or 3 weeks. God, is it overwhelming.
Because,
especially in this, maybe it's different for everyone where let's say, for example, if we had our kids and then waited what we were thinking about doing, waited 10 years, then it probably would be easier because then you got two kids that are, you know, 10 and 8 mm-hmm. and they're a little bit more aware and they can communicate a little bit more. But when you got a kid that's 4 and one that's 2, it's nice to get them all done back to back to back like that. But the 4-year-old is just, he has big feelings, still trying to figure things out. Lots of transitions already with having another, you know, a sibling and now another sibling. And then him trying to figure out, you know, he's still at that age of like trying to figure out who he is, you know, not saying who he is, but he's 4. You know, he's about to go to school. It's a lot
he's
of transitions.
He's experiencing a lot of things for the first time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And his communication is there, but it's not. He's 4. He communicates like a 4-year-old. And he's huge. So, like, when we go to basketball games or anywhere in public, they think he's, like, 6. And I'm like, no. Like, if he does something that, you know, a 4-year-old would do, they kind of give him a weird look or me a weird look. I'm like, no, he's – and I'm like – or I'll say something like, oh, man, big feelings for a 4-year-old. And then someone will go, he's 4? And I'm like, yeah, he's 4. That's why he's acting that way. He may look like he's much bigger and older, but he's only a 4-year-old kid. So, you know, give us a little grace here.
Yeah.
He's going to have tantrums. He's freaking 4.
Yeah.
But then you got a 2-year-old who just got off breastfeeding, you know, a year ago. And now mom is whipping out her boobs and giving it to another child. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And she's
a little jealous.
Very jealous. And she's 2, so she can't fully communicate at all because she's 2. Mm-hmm. And so I caught her the other night. We were laying in bed and my wife was breastfeeding our newest baby. And I saw her like do one of these things where she slowly started to, with her mouth open, like go for the other boob. And then I was like, what are you doing? And she looked at me like, oh, shoot.
Caught red-handed.
And then, of course, it has a huge tantrum. And you can't explain to her because she's 2. Like, baby, you can't do this because she doesn't get it. She doesn't care. She doesn't know. She wants it.
Yeah.
So give me that milk right there. So our solution was my wife, when she's breastfeeding with one boob, she'll put on like a haka or one of these things and pull milk from her other boob. And then we'll put that in like a bottle or a cup and give it to her to keep her happy.
Oh,
and
wow.
She loves it because breast milk is great. It's liquid gold.
Yeah.
So she loves it. So she's like, all right, that was our little compromise. Every once in a while, I'll give her a little hit of, it's like giving her a shot of a whiskey, you know?
A little bit of sugar.
A little bit of sugar. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
and then a new baby
gosh.
Who's a new baby. And of course, it literally has, you can't control anything about it.
Yeah.
You know? It is what it is. So it's overwhelming. It's a lot.
Okay. It does sound like a lot. Just hearing like the bare minimum of what's happening. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting any type of sleep whatsoever?
Somewhat, yes. Her, I think a little bit more or less than me because she is breastfeeding and in the early stages, it's cluster feed city. Like it is like, which cluster feeding means like they eat like every freaking 30 minutes. They'll eat, spit up, throw up, poop, and then want to eat again. And then as soon as you feel like they're going to be fine and go down, they want to eat again and eat again and eat again. And it's just really tiring on her, but it's her third time doing it. So it's, you know, she's got it. It's totally fine, but it's very tiring on her.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's almost like Lunchbox said it best. He's like, you're like a single parent with two kids, because then I have to always take care of the other two because she's tied to that one.
Yeah.
But it's awesome though. So, I mean, it sounds like it's not awesome, but in the end, it's awesome.
Do you feel like you're bonding more with your two other kids kind of right now in this moment?
Oh, yeah, definitely much more. Mm-hmm. And I feel like less bonding with the other one, which feels weird. Mm-hmm. But she's getting the bonding, which is more important because she's the sole provider for that kid right now. Like, that's my wife is everything to that baby because she's providing everything for it.
Yeah.
All of its nutrients. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it was a hell of a process to get that baby here, though.
Wow.
Holy crap.
What? So what happened, if you want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Okay.
I wrote happens? A whole list of bullet points here, what happened.
Give me everything. Okay. I'm not going to push. You tell me what you want to talk about.
I'll tell you everything except for names. Names and locations.
Okay.
And names social security and locations. Numbers.
What about gender? I don't think we've shared
that. She's a girl, yeah.
A girl.
She's a girl, yes.
She's a girl. So yes. We have two girls and one boy in the
family
now.
Two girls and one boy, yes. Oldest is a boy and two younger girls.
Okay.
And I feel for your father having all girls.
Yeah.
Another side note.
Yes. Yeah. He can talk about all the girl things all day long.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yes. So the way it all started was, so it was Christmas time and it's the third kid. So things are a little bit different. And it's as far as the birthing goes, because it's the third time. So like it could come at any point, which for any kid, but I don't know all the logistics behind it. But like, hey, your baby could come now. Because we kept having all these doctor's appointments. Like, oh, it looks like it's going to be mid-December. And then we go to an appointment and they go, oh, not quite yet. It's going to be in maybe another week. And then we go to another appointment. Ah, not quite yet. It's like waiting for, like a repairman to come to the house. Oh, we're almost there. And it never shows up. And you're like, when the hell is this baby going to come? And then finally we have our final appointment. And it was like, I think December 28th. And we go and she's like, oh, it looks like it's almost here. And I was like, well, you know, what is it? And she's like, well, you're not really quite a centimeter dilated. She goes, but I'm going to scrape the membrane, which... a lot of information, but they basically go up in there and they move some things around to kind of help get it out. It's almost like a light induction, because a full induction or like inducing is when they will give you like Pitocin and a couple other things to kind of like push the baby out. So this is like a kind of like a the appetizer to extracting a baby.
Okay.
So
it's a weird way of putting it, but I like it. Okay.
or like the first attempt of trying to get it to come out. Mm-hmm. So they did that, and then she's like, she goes, we have another appointment for you. I think it was like 2 days later, like the 30th or the 31st. She goes, but I have a feeling we're not going to see you then. We may see you sooner. Or no, my dates are all messed up. But it was like, we went in one day and she's like, I may not see you at the next point, which is 3 days later. And then it was the very next day.
That you saw her.
We saw her, but it was for labor. So she did this whole scraping thing. And then that night at 11:45 p.m., I hear her in the middle of my sleep. She goes, my water broke. And I was like, huh? My water broke. And she was just, go back to bed, it's fine. And I was like,
that's what she said.
And I was like, well, go back to bed, it's fine. She's like, go back to bed, it's fine. I'll let you know if anything changes. And I was like, all right, so I went back to bed.
Wait. So it's not like the movies where it's like water broken, you have to go right away.
Not at all. All that's all crap. Yeah, maybe there's a version of it, but it's not like that. It's like, whoa, it's like a gushing amount of water. And it's like, we gotta go now. Like, labor is a very long, intensive process. And the water breaking is different versions of it. So there may be some where it's like splash. And then it's like, oh, we got to go. But in a lot of the scenarios, water breaks, which means that I guess like that whole sack thing happens. And I don't want to gross you out.
No, it's okay.
But that whole thing happens. And then that means the baby's starting to then make its exit strategy.
Gotcha.
So it means, it could be an hour, it could be 2 hours, but it's all based on contractions. And I think the rule is 5-1-1. So if you have a contraction for lasting 5 minutes, for every hour or something like that, where basically if the contractions are closer together, which I can't feel, she feels, and she can tell me, and she has an app and she tracks it. She goes, okay, here's contraction one. And then she'll time it. And if it's within a certain window and it happens a certain frequency, then it's time. Okay, now it's time to go to the hospital. And then now you're in a window of labor time. And labor time can be 30 minutes to 12 hours, to 2 days.
Depending. So how long after her water breaking did you guys wait to go to the hospital?
So it broke 11:45 p.m., and then she told me to go back to bed. And then she woke me up around 1:32 a.m. And she's like, ooh, it's really bad. Like, it's a lot of pain. Okay, all right, what do you want to do? And I guess a little backstory before that, my mom was supposed to fly in to watch my two current children that are here on this earth, who have to be watched by somebody.
Yeah.
Because you can't take them to the hospital. You can't, they have to stay home.
Yeah.
They don't encourage children to be there in the birthing room for all the obvious reasons.
A lot of reasons.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. And so they're like, so we have to have someone to come watch them. And we don't live here. We live here. We don't have family that lives here. We're not from here. We're transplants. And so we had to schedule that and figure out who's going to come up to watch our kids. And that was a whole other thing we were dealing with 2 months beforehand. So we weren't sure like who's going to watch the kids. And then we're trying to figure out between my wife's side of the family or my side of the family, who's available. And when you're in, and the most difficult thing is we don't know when the baby's coming. Like we were talking about, you know, a moment ago. So I can't really give them an exact date. Like you plan your trip for your birthday. You have a date you're going to get there and a day you're going to come home. With this, it's like, hey, you know, it's going to be in this window and we can't buy our flights yet. And we don't know when it's going to be, but can you tell your work that you're going to have to leave at the drop of a hat, like those kind of things. So it's a little difficult. So the best person for it was my mom to come up, but she has a thing where she's watching my grandmother who is on her own. So then you have to get somebody to come in and watch my grandmother while she comes in and watches our kids. So that was the logistics we had to deal with. So my uncle had to come down to watch, you know, his mom, which is my mom's mom. And then she would come up to us, but then also telling him like, also, I don't know when it's going to be. Could be on Christmas. I know you got your whole thing going on.
Yeah.
It could be on New Year's. I don't know when it's going to be. Yada, yada. So then that was our choice. It was my mom. It was the one that worked. And then we did all that logistics. So we booked her flight to come out early before we thought was the date was going to be January 6th. Well, let's have her come out a week in advance and, you know, be here. And then when we got news that it could be closer to New Year's, like, oh, let's get her in after Christmas. So my uncle can do his thing. And then let's have her fly in the 26th. Well, that's when Southwest had that whole thing of all the canceled flights and all this crap. And I saw it because the next morning I'm like, oh, you're coming in. And then I looked like that morning at like 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I was like, already are we stressed about having to have someone come watch our kids for a baby that could come at any moment. Now we don't have anyone to watch our kids and a baby that can come at any moment. And we don't know when she can get here because they were saying delays were going to go all the way up until the end of the week. And I'm like, holy crap. I was like, so we've been stressed this whole time for like the last 3 months about all of this. And then the moment finally comes, we thought we have it all buttoned up and then it flips on us again. And we're like, what the is going on right now?
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
It was so stressful. And then the moment we were able to book a flight, then I booked a flight for December 31st. I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, just keep that damn thing in you, whatever you got to do. Like, don't do anything that you would do in the past to try to get it to come out, do everything that's the opposite. Try to keep that damn thing in you. Cause this is our only option to watch the kids. And then, on that early morning, it was basically the night of the 30th at 11:45 p.m. going into December 31st morning at 2 a.m. That's when she's like, oh my God, it's coming. Oh my God, it's coming. I can't hold it any longer. My mom's flight is 8 hours away of a landing in Nashville. And I'm like, just 8 more hours. Hold it in. I got to pick her from the airport. Like, come on, please. Yeah. And she's like, but I'm in so much pain. I can't do it anymore. And I feel guilty. I'm like, all right, crap, here we go. I was like, well, now who are we gonna find to watch our kids at 2 a.m?
Yeah.
While I take you to the hospital. So then we start calling who used to be our nanny that used to watch our kids, who's like our sitter here and there when we need to do things, like if we want to have a date night or if we need them to go to doctor's appointments or whatever. We kept calling her, but she's 24.
Oh, yeah. She's either out or passed out at 2 a.m.
It was like a Friday night or something, I feel like. Yeah, it was one of those things. Trying to call her over and over and over and over. She didn't answer. Text her, didn't answer. And then we're like, oh, crap, well, maybe we talk to our neighbors. They said that they would help out. Call them. They're not answering. No one's responding. And I was like, let's try this. I was like, just for kicks. I was like, she's 24. I'm like, FaceTime her. She's always FaceTiming people. Maybe the sound of the FaceTime ring will hit her in her drunken stupor to wake up versus her ringtone or the vibration or whatever. And sure enough, FaceTime, she responded immediately. And I was like, yes. And we're like, hey, so this is happening right now. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'll be there in like an hour. So then I'm like, okay, now you got to hold on another hour. Can you do this? So we start packing the bag, getting everything ready. Keep not saying to the kids, they're asleep still. Try to keep them relaxed and calm, and they have no idea. And then so she comes in and boom, and we pack up my truck and drive out at 3 a.m. and head to the hospital. And then we get to the hospital and do that whole thing. And you get there at 4 a.m. and no one's really there. And it's New Year's Eve. So it's, you know, it's, I think it was a Saturday. It was New Year's Eve. So it's short staffed. It's a holiday. Nobody's there. It's possibly a lot of the, which we'll get to in a second, the second stringers, not the A-team.
Yeah.
Not saying there was an A-team there, because there was, but you get a lot of that, you know, because it's the holiday, it's the weekend. That's how it is in any industry. You got the people trying to make a name for themselves coming into work. And I'm like, great, cool.
You're like, I'm already nervous. This has already been stressful. Yes. And here we go.
Here we go. But it's my third kid, so I'm not too nervous, but I'm just nervous about all the circumstances around it.
Yeah.
So we get to the hospital. It's 4 a.m. They start doing all the check-in, triage. You get to the room, all that kind of stuff. And then finally, once we get settled, she's fine. She's in labor, but it's not like a lot of pain. She's getting through it. And I'm really hungry. We haven't eaten anything since yesterday dinner. like, God, I'm so hungry. And I was like, she can't eat anything because they won't allow it based on, you know, she's having labor. You can't eat. All you can have is Jell-O and soup and water.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
It's awful. So I'm like, I'm gonna go down to the. You mind if I go down to the cafeteria and get some? I'm like, I'm really hungry. I'm willing to fight it with you and not eat. She goes, no, you need to eat because then you become an ass. You become a jerk.
She's like, I need you to be on your best behavior, so exactly. Go eat some food.
And be here for me and have the energy, so go get some food for me. I'm like, you're right, I need to be here, I need to be present, I need to have the energy, so let me go get some food. Go downstairs to the cafeteria, and again, it's Saturday, so it's not full staff, it's not fresh food. Mm-hmm. It's food from the night before, the breakfast from yesterday, which I found out in a very terrible way.
Oh, gosh.
So I go to get the food, I order it. And I could tell it's all crap from yesterday because it's in like buckets over like a heated lamp. And I'm like, but I was so hungry and I was so tired. I wasn't making rational decisions. I almost got sushi, which would have been stupid too, because that would probably have been just as bad, if not worse. So I get my food, I go back to the room and I eat it and I eat the grits. I feel like it's fine. Bacon, okay. But I eat this like pork sausage and it was fine, but I felt like something was off, but then I'm just not thinking. So we're doing the whole labor thing and everything's all good. And then we get to a point where then she can't handle the pain anymore. And she's like, I need an epidural. Like, all right, we'll get the lady in for an epidural. She comes in. Hey, my name's nurse. Da, 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 da. Just want to let you know off the bat. I'm a nurse in training. This is my 17th time doing it. So I used to be a triage nurse. So I do have experience, but I want to let you know that this is not, I'm in training. And if you don't know what an epidural is, which you may know. It goes into your spine. Which
you don't want anybody in training doing that, okay?
No, because if you're like a hair off, you'd be paralyzed. You mm-hmm. could die, which she tells us. She's like, here's the symptoms, and I have to say this. You could die or you could be paralyzed for life. Is that okay? And I'm just like, oh my God, it's a trainee.
Well, and that's hard. Like, that's hard for a woman. I obviously have not been in that position, but to be told that, and you're in the most pain you've probably been in your entire life.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, I want it. No, I don't want to die. No, I don't want to be paralyzed. But it doesn't sound like I have a good option right now.
Yeah, I have a choice because you're here and it's a holiday and there's no one else coming.
Yeah.
So I was like, good God. So we're like, okay, sure. And she was okay, well, I have to wait for Tom to show up. And I was like, well, who's Tom? Well, Tom is like the...
Her supervisor or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, he's been doing it for 50 years. And so we're waiting for Tom. And so Tom is, you know, probably strapped thin as well because it's the holidays and that kind of stuff. So we start playing music, and because I always, when we do the birthing, I always have music because I feel like it's so awkward if it's silence in there. And one of the nurses was like, oh my God, you have great music you're playing. I love the playlist and the music. She goes, it's always so awkward. Well, I don't want to say it's awkward. I'm like, no, it's awkward. You come into a room where a woman's breathing heavily and there's a husband there freaking out or awkwardly just sitting there, and you need something to break the ice or make the room a little bit more fun. And I've always felt like music is the best way to do that.
Okay. So another pro tip.
If you're going to have a child, bring in a Bluetooth speaker and have, not necessarily have music ready. If you want to have a playlist, it's fine.
Or just there's baby making music. Now there's
baby
life music.
Yeah. So I just play all the songs my wife likes, and I play albums that we like and whatever. She likes Casey Musgraves. We played a little bit of that. We played, you know, Justin Timberlake, suit, like all kinds of stuff, classic rock, everything. And they were just loving it. And then Tom comes in, because I'm such a nerd with stuff, I started playing David Bowie's song. You may not know it, but it goes, this is ground control to Major Tom. I'm stepping through the room. And then right as he was walking in, I played that. And he walked into it and he was like, okay, guys, all right. But I felt like that was really cool.
You already had dad jokes going. You had dad jokes on cue.
On cue with music. Like, I was on it. Oh, it was a moment where I felt like, God, it was awesome. I'm proud of myself here for this.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's a tangent on that. So he comes in and he could care less. So he goes and sits on a couch behind me, kind of like almost just sitting over there like, yeah, all right, you got it, right? And she's over there going like, okay. And she's like shaking and putting the needle in. And then they go to like put it in, do it. And he goes, no, you want to go a little higher here. And like, it was like they're working on a car. And it's just like, if something happens, it happens, and we'll just fix it. I'm like, this is not a car. It's my wife. Like, oh, you told me the last thing is she could die or be paralyzed. You're going to pierce her spine. Please don't F this up. But I don't want to exude that energy or
especially
even say those things.
Wife,
my wife. So I don't want to make her nervous, because I'm sure she deals with people because this is her 17th time. So I'm sure 16 times before that, especially number one.
I was gonna say, could you imagine being when she walks in, she's like, this is my first time? I'd be like, No.
Get the
gal. I believe in what you're doing, but absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No chance in hell. And it's funny because fast forward, and this is another slight tangent. Our chiropractor just had a baby like 2 days before our baby. And he goes, yeah, we had this nurse that came in and she said that it was a trainee and da 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 for the epidural. And I told her to get out because it's our first kid. I'm like, oh my God, you probably had, and they went to the same hospital. I'm like, you probably got our trainee. Uh-huh. I was like, we were fine. It's the third kid. He goes, yeah, not our first kid. I ain't messing around with that. And I'm a chiropractor and I know about spines and he's getting the hell out, or she's getting the hell out. So yeah, she's doing this and I don't want to upset her. I don't want to freak her out, because if you freak her out, you put her under pressure, she will mess up. So I just wanted to keep her confident. I was like, what's your favorite song? And I played her favorite song. Something to keep her happy and like cool and calm.
There's a lot happening in this birth room right
yes,
now.
Yes, and I want her to just do it right. And then they go to do it, and I've seen it happen twice now, the epidural, so I know what it should look like. They turn around, there's freaking blood everywhere.
Oh my God, I would have passed out. I would have been like, no, absolutely not.
And she, I could tell she did a terrible job and had to poke multiple times or whatever. Ugh. And I was like, oh my God, what is happening right now? And my wife's like, she goes, is everything fine? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. It looks great. Because I don't want her to freak out.
You're like internally freaking out.
Internally, I'm like, oh my God. But outside, I need to be completely calm, keep my composure. Because if I'm not calm, then the energy of the room is not calm. And then they're going to kill my wife. And then I'm going to be on my own with three kids. So F that. So I had to be as calm as possible. And I was. And they did the epidural. And that was all good. And everything is fine. We go into the birthing. And then I thought maybe about 3 hours later, we start to get into like serious pushing time. Mm. And then our doctor comes in, and she's the freaking absolute greatest OBGYN doctor, which she does more. I mean, she does birthing, but she's an OB doctor. So she does it all, you know.
Yeah.
Girls, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Which I learned for the first time this time around. I was in the waiting room and I was like, why are these older women here? Are they having babies? Like, what's going on here? My wife goes, no, it's a vagina doctor. She checks vaginas. It's like, not just births.
You forgot they don't just do births.
Yeah, she was like, she checks them all. She's like, I would come here too.
I would love to share a fun fact with you. My OBGYN, who I go see every time I'm home, is actually the same guy who my mom gave birth with all four of our girls.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
why I still go to him, because he's so good.
Yeah, very good, apparently.
Yeah.
That's a cool, for him, it must be really cool, perspective-wise, to be like, I birthed you, and now I come and see you.
Yep, that'd all be so down cool. the line. I believe my sister, she's the only one in our family that's had kids besides my mom, she also gave her niece and my niece and nephew with him.
Oh, cool.
So, in the family.
That's so cool. He's like the family doctor for real.
So, like, if I ever get pregnant, I'm going to have to be at home able to have birth with him.
You have to go back home to do it.
Yep.
And our insurance is crap. It's Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, and we're in Tennessee. So, we had to pay out of state fees because it's cheaper for the company. I want to get in all that crap. So, my whole point is you can birth your child anywhere, and it'll cost a crap load because we have crappy insurance.
Lovely.
So, go to Kansas City and do it, Wichita, Kansas, and have your baby there, because it won't matter where you have it, because it won't be covered properly.
True.
Side note, welcome. And then that was another thing that
I'm making it sound very exciting to have a child, Scuba. I'm not sure how I feel.
No, it's cool. It's great. Like, no, I'm not being sarcastic. Like, no, it really is.
I don't believe you.
I've done it three times now, so apparently I enjoy it.
Listen, every time I hear these birthing stories, my friends just have one. I'm like, I really don't like the idea of all of this.
Yes.
Sounds like a lot.
Well, I mean, you could just have, if you want to have a kid, you could have one and do a C-section, and it's like an operation, and you're in and out, and you're done. Recovery process is a pain in the ass, but it's much of an easier day of process.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so we're going to do the birth, and it's the third one, and it may be our last one. And I've seen them all. I've watched them. I've seen the whole process, and it's so fascinating. And I think it's so cool. And I think it's so, like, I look at women, I'm like, good God, you guys are so incredible that you have this superpower. You grow an effing human being in your body, and then you push it out, and then it grows up to become an adult. Like, that's something that guys can't do. And we are a part of the process, of course. We're a key piece, but we can't do the end result of making it.
Yeah.
Like, we start it, but we can't finish it, and we can't do it. And it's just like, it's so incredible. So the nurse who's helping out, because it's now the part where it's dilating, the centimeters are growing, and the baby's head's starting to come out. And she's like, hey, do you want to see it? I have a mirror. I can slide over for you to watch it. She goes, I would say 98% of women don't want to watch it. She goes, but there's that, 2% doesn't want to watch it. And she's like, I'm fine. And I was like, dude, babe, I was like, this could be the last one. I was like, you should see it. And I'm totally serious. I'm like, you should don't see the whole birthing process, but at least look at what you're able to do. Because when you're doing it, and that part of the process is it's pushing. So you're in this stage where the contractions are closer, and every time there's a contraction to get the baby to come out, the woman has to like almost lift her head up. So my job is to hold her neck up, because you have to hold the head because she's having to push. And the nurse has the legs up on stirrups, and she's down there trying to help with the baby. And so my job is to help hold my wife's hand so she can squeeze it for support and for the pain release. And I have to hold her head up because she has to hold her head up for 10 seconds, 10 Mississippi, breathing while pushing. And I'm like, you should totally see it. Like, it's really fascinating that you can do this. And if it's your last time doing it, you're not going to watch videos on YouTube. Like, see you push the baby. Like, this is so cool. And she's like, you know what? F it. Slide that mirror on over. And so she saw it. And she's like, wow. And as she's pushing, I could see her looking at it going like, holy crap, I'm doing this. And I was like, yes. And I felt it was more motivating and an experience for her that if this is the last one, she got to see her push it. She didn't see the whole process, but for a good, you know, like I would say 20, 30 pushes, which is probably like an hour, she saw her push the baby from where there was a little bit ahead to like almost the full head coming. And I was like, Look, you can do this. Like, this is so cool. Like, always remember this moment that this is something that you're able to do and we can't. So whenever men put women down, say, F you, dude. Like, you can't make a baby. You can't handle that crap.
That's true.
You ain't. Anyway.
I love that.
So it's really cool. So she's able to see that doctor comes in, the whole birthing thing, and I cut the umbilical cord. Welcome to planet Earth. Here you are. And then the baby comes out. They clean it up to a certain degree, do the skin-to-skin time. And I start having this, like, massive headache. And I'm like, God. And I'm like, maybe it's because I haven't had a lot of water and I haven't eaten since my crappy breakfast at 7 a.m. and now it's almost 2 p.m. I'm like, man, I got a really bad headache. Then my mom flew in, flight came in, everything's good. My wife's friend went to go pick her up from the airport to help us out and brought her to my house, which was nice, huge help. But now I need to go back to the house, baby's out, to get my mom, because she was going to come earlier and we're going to like show her the routines and show her all the stuff. You know, she hasn't seen my kids in like a year. So she doesn't know what we do, bedtime routines, food, what do they eat? All those like little things, you know, like a dog, you know, you have a dog, there's a routine, things you do, you have to explain it to a dog sitter.
Yep.
So same thing, go to home, I have to go home and tell my mom all about it. So we have the baby, wait a little bit, my mom's all good, but I'm like, hey, I'm coming home to help you out, mostly with like routine for nighttime, and I'll bring you some food for the kids and everything, and we're doing this, and I'm like, okay, all right, babe, you good now? It's like 4 o'clock. She's like, yeah, you're good. My headache becomes even worse. It's super strong. And I start having that feeling, you know, the feeling of like throwing up or you feel something in the back of your throat. And I'm like, am I going to throw up? And I'm like, no, I just have a headache. I just need water. So I started drinking a lot of water, driving home. I'm about maybe 10 minutes from the house. And all of a sudden I have this feeling like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? I get to a turn, and I was like, I can't make it. I can't make it home. I was like, I can make it home and throw up. I'll be fine. I was like, I can make it home. And I was like, I can make it home. I'm breathing. I was like, oh no, I can't make it. It's about to turn red. I run the red light and I pull over into like the back of a Jiffy Lube and I throw up my mouth before I get to the Jiffy Lube and I have to hold it in my mouth, pull in, park, and then park as fast as I can. It's not like 5:30, so it's kind of dark. And it's behind like a restaurant and I just start blowing chunks in the back of a Jiffy Lube parking lot. And it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So people think I'm drunk and I hear a guy going, oh, mucho cerveza. I'm like, no. Food poisoning. I had some crappy food.
You're like, you really think I'd be driving right now if that was the case?
No, dude. Like, I just came from the hospital with food poisoning. I feel terrible. So then I'm worried that I'm going to get pulled over for a DUI or something. So I'm paranoid. I'm throwing up in the back of a parking lot. And I'm like, holy crap. And then I get home. And you know how when you throw up, you just feel
and you probably feel like
awful.
Crap at this point.
I've had no sleep. I've had an hour of sleep.
With food poisoning.
But then I feel like such a wuss because my wife just pushed a human being out of her body. And I can't really bitch and complain to her about my food poisoning because she just birthed a human. But I want to complain and I want to feel bad, but I can't feel bad because so it's like, I don't mean crap. Like, this is nothing. So then I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, I just threw up. And she's like, what the hell? And I explain the food. She goes, oh, yeah, you weren't looking good. I could tell something was wrong with you. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm dealing with. And she's like, just stay home for a couple hours because now the baby's, you know, out. Get your mom set up, do your thing, and here I am at home laying on the floor. Okay, mom, so what you do is, sorry.
Trying to breathe through telling instructions. Yeah,
exactly. And then I throw up again, and then I go take a shower to clean up, and what ended up being 2 hours is 3 hours, and then my wife is now texting me because she hasn't eaten anything since yesterday's dinner as well, and now she's hungry. And all she wants is sushi because she hasn't had sushi in 9 months. And so I was like, so now it becomes like, it's okay, take your time to get up. I'm hungry. Go pick up the food. I'm hungry. Go order something, please.
Yeah.
And it's New Year's Eve in downtown Nashville. And so I have to then navigate back into downtown Nashville as they're doing all these road closures and there's traffic everywhere and there's drunk people everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, this is absolute mayhem. And so, and then I'm also nervous because I'm not feeling well. Am I going to get pulled over for, and they're going to think I'm drunk. And now, because it's New Year's Eve and all this crap. And I'm just like, all this crap is going through my head. I'm like, continued amount of stress, but I can't show my cards because my wife went through a lot of crap. So it's just like, it was, oh my God.
It sounds like in the 48 hours that this all happened, it was like everything bad and good that could happen possibly happened.
Oh yeah, 100%. It could, I mean, everything bad that happens, something even greater happened. So it's just
that's
like,
what I'm saying, bad and good, but like mix it all in one. Normally it's just like 48 hours of bad or 48 hours of good. You got bad and good in 48 hours.
My goodness, it was a whirlwind.
But baby is here, mom is healthy, baby is healthy, all is good.
Yes, that's the most important thing too, is baby's health, wife is healthy.
Well, I love hearing all of that and the story of craziness. I'm sad that things went kind of wrong, but happy to hear everybody's good.
Yes, thank you.
And you're feeling better. Wife and baby are doing great.
Yeah, all good and healthy,
All the adjusting is happening now.
Yes, that's where we're at now. Yeah, the acclimating to the new life of three children and two adults.
Well, I cannot wait to keep hearing. It sounds like pure fun chaos.
Yeah, it is.
That's what I got out of it.
It's fun for you because you're not living it.
Yep. I get to go home and binge watch my movies. Yeah. That's what I get to do, Scuba.
And you can watch James Bond from top to bottom.
Well, we're going to have more stories at a different point in time, I'm sure. So we'll go ahead and get into this next one. Lunchbox is coming in at number 4. He finally got his roof repaired. And, you know, I bet he's pretty proud of himself. Or at least his wife was very proud of him for doing this. So I want to talk about the last time you were genuinely proud of yourself for doing something not work-related.
Getting a minivan.
Okay.
It was inevitable with three kids. Yeah. We had a truck. It's a 5-seater. 3 car seats in the back.
Wait, hold on. Do you still have your truck?
I still have my truck. And I think that was the debate for a very long time.
I was going to say, I have not seen a minivan out, and I still see the truck.
Yes. So it was a debate of, well, if we're going to get a minivan, you have to get rid of your truck.
Yep.
Because of the financial side of it. And I was like, I'm not getting rid of that truck. I've always wanted a truck. And I fought so hard to get that dang truck. And then so we, for a long time of conversation and compromisations, like, I don't know if it's a word, but who gives a crap, compromising and all that, we finally were like, look, babe, it's going to be easier on you, because I remember the other two kids, especially the infant, if we drive anywhere, the infant needs a lot of attention. And if we have a 5-seater with 3 car seats and her in the front, it's much harder for her to manage and deal with the infant. Other two are easier. Plus, then you got the one of them that may squeeze the arm or pull or hurt the infant unintentionally.
So you're about to tell me that you convinced your wife to get rid of her car for a minivan?
Yes. So we got rid of her Prius, which that she's had since 2011. It's like her baby. And it's in great condition. It's awesome. Great gas mileage.
Scuba. You're telling me right now, because this segment happened a few months ago where you told us that she didn't want to quit her job. And now she also lost her car? Yes.
But I got her a minivan. That's awesome. It's got leather seats. It's got an entertainment system.
You are saying that like it's a proud thing, but I do not think she's going to be happy about this.
No, she's, well, now that we have it and she understands the convenience of it and the benefits of having the minivan and all things that I pitched her, and it's coming to fruition and it's all great.
Yeah, you keep talking yourself into that, Scuba. You're talking yourself into that, by the way.
So a proud moment that I got the minivan that we needed and I wanted.
I feel for your wife right now because I heard all about this birthing story, the job, and now the car.
But she loves it. And then she was like, no, you know, you're right. It's time to get rid of the Prius and let someone else enjoy her. I was like, you're right. You're right. It is.
Your poor wife. I think I needed to go check on your wife. I genuinely do. I'm a little concerned.
She's happy. She's fine. Everything's good. Trust me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Next time, you know how Lunchbox brings audio of his wife? I need audio of yours. I need, like, proof of life. Proof of happiness.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, she's gotten rid of a lot of things. And I'm feeling for her right now.
You're like, so what are you proud about, Morgan?
I was like, dang it. I just got called out. Well, nothing near a minivan situation, but I made hot chocolate and whipped cream from scratch.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And that was very exciting for me.
I think I saw that on your Instagram. Yeah, yeah. Yes. You made the whipped cream from scratch?
Yes, and the hot chocolate, both of which I have never done before in my life.
So the hot chocolate, I'm not trying to downplay it.
No.
I don't seem like it's as impressive because it's like chocolate and like the milk.
Well, no. Okay. So let me tell you, both two of these things are not hard.
Okay. The whipped cream to me seems like it'd be very difficult.
No.
Okay.
So let me tell you, the hot chocolate is cocoa, it's sugar, vanilla, and milk.
Okay.
And some chocolate chips.
Okay.
That's it. 5 ingredients. And you basically melt that all together. But I had just never, I'd always just bought the packets. It's easier.
It's convenience. Yeah.
Yeah. So I never knew that you could like, essentially, I just never knew you could make this from scratch until recently I've been obsessed with hot chocolate. And then whipped cream, the only three ingredients you need are heavy whipping cream, sugar, and vanilla.
So, but then how do you make it to where it's like out of the can or
so
whatever?
So heavy whipping cream, you pour it in a bowl and you just keep whipping it. Just keep going. So you keep adding sugar until it starts getting, and it's a lot of sugar.
Okay.
A whole lot of sugar in homemade whipping cream.
Okay.
But you just keep going until it keeps whipping. And once it's starting to get that whipped texture, you add a little bit of vanilla and keep whipping it a little bit more. And there you have it. Whipped cream. Literally heavy whipping cream turned whipped.
That is so cool. And I'm also just so envious of you to have the time to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yes. I know.
That's why I'm
like,
kids.
I was like, I didn't buy a minivan, but I'll learn how to make a new thing. The polar opposites of our life right now, Scuba.
Oh, completely opposite.
Yeah.
And that's why it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love that for us.
Yes, me too.
More I love it for me. Because
no, I love it more for you too. Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that was fine. Listen, I was really I get proud of myself anytime I can make something that I never originally thought to make.
Yes.
Is the best way of putting that.
Yeah, because it has been so convenient for you to just the powder and the marshmallows and move on.
Yeah, because my mom, this homemade whipping cream is like my mom's, like our family's.
Uh-huh. So like, she does it, okay.
Yeah, she makes homemade icing and stuff
too. Dang, oh my God, okay.
And she, every time she teaches me, she's like, Morgan, you have to remember, this is like what we did before grocery stores had all of these different things.
That's true, yeah. That is factually correct.
Yes, and so she teaches me these things and I get reminded that, you know, it's not that impressive. It's just actually what they used to do.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places, like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction time.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm really glad that both of us are proud of ourselves for things, even if they're very different. Yeah. That's okay.
Yep,
we're just moving forward from it, Scuba.
Yeah.
I love that that's what life is.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. And that at that number three spot, speaking of kids and talking about Scuba Steve and his life, Eddie and Amy also shared some kids' stories recently of crazy things that have happened in their lives with their kids. And you guys love hearing kids' stories, so this is definitely a big one up there. And I want to talk about, I went to Atlanta this weekend.
I saw that. So cool.
This past weekend.
Yes.
Never had been to Atlanta before.
Okay, cool.
And it was a really cool experience. I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
It's just a big city. And I had the best time.
Like, it looked like you did, yeah.
Yeah, just exploring the city, ate a lot of good donuts. And also, crazy enough, President Biden was also there the same time I was.
Oh, wow. Was it crazy? Because like Kozlov like blocked like blocks.
Yes.
Right?
And we saw it. We saw his like vehicle.
Motorcade.
Yes. That's what it's called. I was like, I don't know what it's called. I want to say procession, like the funeral procession.
Yeah, exactly.
All the
different blacked out SUVs and the long car and everything.
Crazy motorcade, and it like blocked so much traffic. And thankfully, we weren't dealing with traffic. We were like bopping around some bars.
Yeah.
But it felt so weird to be there while a president was there because it was MLK Day. And huge for Atlanta.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's where things happened with MLK. So that's why he was there. But it was just really cool. It felt really weird to be in the same place that the president was at the same time.
Oh, yeah. It's very weird. Because when I lived in San Francisco, it would happen a lot. When they traveled, I think that was when Barack Obama was president. And I remember going to work one day and I was driving down where I always drive and I couldn't, I was like, what the hell? Where are all these police cars are everywhere? I'm like, it must be a murder or something. And I go over another block and I still can't go down that block. And I went over another block and I still can't, I'm like, what in the hell is happening?
Uh-huh.
And then I went around another block and I finally got to go over and then I had to go all the way down. And like you had a major detour and then you realize, oh, Barack Obama is at the Omni and they square that whole thing off.
Isn't that crazy? Just, and it makes the most sense because he's a world leader, right?
Oh, yeah,
he's a president of a whole country, but it's just crazy the security that comes around that. I felt like it was a movie I was seeing witness in real life.
Yes, yeah,
it didn't feel real.
Very surreal.
Yes, and different than like when I went to Washington D.C. because like you see the White House and you're like, oh, that's cool, but I'm in a different city that I didn't plan on like
seeing that.
Yes, seeing that. And like being there where the president was.
So aside from Atlanta being just an awesome city to visit, was there initial like, oh, I'm going there because I want to do this or I want to see this?
No. So two of my best friends moved there and I just went to go visit them. And I was like, I've never been to Atlanta before. So packed up my dog and one of my girlfriends ended up coming along and we just went around. We went and saw Stone Mountain Park, which is literally this giant stone. And they carved like a structure in it, which I don't know why they carved a structure in it. Never makes sense to me.
Okay.
Why would they ruin like a really cool like original stone that's massive? But they did, you know.
Okay, but they did.
We ruin things.
We're humans.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
But talk about conspiracy theory. I'm pretty sure this is the next Area 51.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Inside that stone is definitely alien. There's a hidden door and there's 100% aliens inside
there. There's like an elevator that goes like 1,000 feet
this
into
thing
the Earth's core.
This thing is huge and it doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, What's it called again? I don't think I've ever heard of it.
It's called Stone Mountain Park and it's a state park.
Okay.
So it is like an official one and I don't think people would travel there just to go to that. It was just like I wanted to
Whoa,
see
Whoa, oh my
things.
God. What the hell?
It's huge.
Whoa.
I wanted to like see and experience something. I like going on hikes and seeing cool views, especially when my dog comes along. And so this is where we went, but I was just sitting there and I was like, I just don't understand. I do not understand what this place is.
It's probably not even a real stone. It's probably like Hollywood where it's like, it's got a bunch of like things around it and like fabric to make it look like it's a rock.
No, it's entirely real.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Jeez. It's real. Like we looked up facts and stuff at it, but all I'm saying is it is so large that this thing has to be empty inside and there's aliens in there.
Oh yeah.
That's my conspiracy theory.
Oh yeah. I'm with it. I'm all about it. I need it. I love it. And I want more of it.
Yeah, because it just like landed there. You know what I mean? Like, how did this like huge stone just be there?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Like, and it's a state park. It's protected.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something. There's something to it. But yeah, it was a funny like detour. I was like, we're going to do this. And like my friends that live there were like, okay, sure.
Like, sure, whatever.
Why not?
They'll do it one time. That'll be it for them.
Yes. Yeah. And so we went and it was a funny experience. It wasn't like a state park where you go like, oh, it's so beautiful. I was like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
You kind of have also have like weird vibes being there. You feel something.
Mm-hmm.
I get you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and just the whole fact that we sculpted something and it also feels weird. I'm like, why wouldn't you just leave it as it was?
Just leave it. Yeah, exactly. And just make it a state park as a rock.
Exactly. So, but besides that, yeah, it was awesome. And we bopped around, went to some bars. I got a little too drunk on a Saturday night.
Okay.
Got to try some yummy donuts. Uh-huh. I lived it up in
Atlanta. Did you see any filming? Because they say that's like the filming mecca of our country right now.
And you know, I didn't.
Really?
We went to a lot of different
It's a holiday weekend. That's why. Never mind.
I was going to say that's possible because we went to a lot of different pockets and we didn't see it. We didn't even see like filming set up anywhere either, like sets or anything like that.
Yeah,
so.
You went on a holiday. Hollywood, I love it. Whenever it's a holiday, they're like, take the whole week off. We're not doing anything.
Hey, you know, I like that.
That's awesome.
Hollywood is awesome.
Yeah, Hollywood has a great schedule. I mean, they have grueling schedules when they are working, but they got a lot of time off. If it's a television show or it's a whatever the production's.
Well, thank you for adding jealousy to my list of things today, Steve.
Because my friend David, he is like an aspiring actor or whatever, and he does voiceovers, and he actually has some pretty good commercials that were in Super Bowls. But he was back in OC. He's from that Seal Beach, which we were talking about earlier, which I love. And he was flying. I think he was from Chicago to back home. One of the two, he lives in Chicago now. and he met, you know, Zachary Levi, the actor.
Yeah.
He was in Shazam or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were at a bar and he was just like sitting there and he looks over. He's like, holy shit. And then he told me, he's like, they had a 20-minute conversation just about life and things. And then they got into like, what do you guys do and whatever. And he's like, told him what he wants. And he's like, you have any advice? I hate to bug you for this, but just like elevator pitch advice. Like, what do you think I should do? He goes like, if you're not Atlanta, you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. He's like, really? He's like, if you're wanting to do, you know, television shows, especially if you have a want to do the world of like the CW, like what he would do, like Flash, that kind of thing, or any kind of acting. He goes, if you're not in Atlanta, you're wasting
your
time.
Wait, now I'm listening. Okay, I'm going back to Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's got all, I mean, very, very, not the city, but the outskirts of it as well. I mean, they do a lot of filming there.
Yeah.
It's become what was supposed to be Orlando was the East Hollywood, and that defunct and went away in the 90s. Atlanta has become the East Hollywood. And he goes, if you're not there, you're wasting your time, dude. And he goes, that's where you got to be for anything, production, TV, movies, voiceovers, all that. Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, well, if you see me in Atlanta more weekends, you know why.
Exactly, me too.
We both just are there. We're like, what are you doing here?
You see a for sale sign in my front yard, I'm going to Atlanta.
We just all leave and go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was. It's a really cool city, and I do suggest if you stop through there or anything, definitely check it out.
Okay, cool.
So I did go there, but just more crazy that I got to experience the being in a city with a president.
Yeah,
cool.
It's very cool. It's very surreal.
Very.
And then to see it, not just to know about it, because I'm sure it was like on the news or topic of conversation or whatever, mm-hmm. but you saw it. That's really cool.
It was just a wild experience.
Yeah.
So all around a really cool weekend, and of course I got to bring my dog, and you know I love that.
Oh, heck yeah. That's
my really jam.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
And at the number two spot was Old Dominion. They stopped by and they performed one of their new songs, Memory Lane. They also performed their first and last hit. You know, last is in their latest hit, not their last ever. And they just talked about a lot of things and shared
last
some.
Ever?
Last ever?
They're breaking up.
This is where we start the rumor mill. Yeah. No. And also, there's a joke that one of the guys made in this interview. It's 100% a joke. There is no feud between them and another band. Just FYI. Social media, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We like to believe everything we hear.
They love those headlines.
Yes.
Yep.
So FYI, that is true. But this is a really great interview. But more importantly, the performance is so awesome. And you can check that out on YouTube at Bobby Bones Show. And in at the number one spot, we're going to talk about being heroes because Eddie was a hero. He broke up a fight between kids.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't think he's a hero, but everybody else thinks he's a hero. And I don't know. Have you ever saved anyone? Have you ever been a hero?
I was trying to think about that. I mean, I've done the opposite of like put people in danger.
Well, that's not something to be proud of, Scuba. That is not what I asked.
But I'm trying to think about, oh, my God, my life between like age 13 mm-hmm. to 24. A lot of crazy things.
Well, you know, I'll let you think.
Okay, let me think about it.
I haven't been a hero to humans.
Okay.
But I've been a hero to a lot of animals.
Okay, yeah, I could speak on that too, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
I've saved a lot of animals. I at least 5 or 6 dogs on the side of the road.
Oh, wow, okay.
A lot. I keep a leash and treats in my car in case I ever run into one.
Okay.
And cats. Those are harder to catch, though.
Okay.
I even save a lot.
Yes, they are.
I save a lot of turtles, too.
Oh, yeah, I
help them
yes.
cross the road.
I love that, yeah.
But I have a very traumatizing experience with a turtle.
Okay.
I had pulled over. I saw the turtle, and it was on kind of like this big street. It wasn't like a highway, but a big street crossing multiple lanes. And I had pulled over, and as I got out and I was like walking toward it, another person drove by, and I heard the whole crunch and everything happened. It was the most traumatizing experience of my life.
Seconds from saving it.
Mm-hmm. I turned around and I just started bawling, and I was like, that is awful. And I literally like cursed the car. I was like, I saw that from like a mile away. How could you? It was a huge turtle. Like
yeah,
it wasn't like
it?
A small one.
They must have done it on purpose too.
I
probably saw you and like, let's get it.
Oh my God, so traumatizing. So, but still, I have saved a lot of turtles, dogs, and cats.
Yes. So, yeah. So, your ratio, like you have a higher win column versus a loss column.
Yeah, but that one's pretty bad. Now I'm really scared to get out for turtles because I have trauma
of that happening. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I've never seen it happen like that in person. I mean, I've saved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some where I was like, oh, I should save that. And one time I turned around and it was unsavable at that time, but I've never had it happen right in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, that'd be awful.
Yeah, and my mom watched somebody hit a dog, and she helped get the dog to the emergency vet because it was still alive and it was okay. It was somebody's pet,
oh,
and
okay.
it ended up being okay, and she helped save it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but like, screw the person who hit him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on.
How are you not that paying attention? I mean, people are not paying attention to driving anymore, which irks the hell out of me. No,
listen, I swerve out of the way for squirrels. Like, yeah, I'm that person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that kind of person in my home. I see a spider, and I take a cup, and I will put it over it, and slide a piece of paper underneath it, and put the cup over, and then throw it outside.
Like, they were here before us.
Oh my God, yeah, and he didn't do anything wrong. He's in my house. He's probably like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I want to get out. And then you squash it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell? That ain't cool.
I'm trying to get better about that because spiders is another one of my fears.
Okay.
And I don't like killing them.
Yeah.
But I get very afraid. It's like a fear-based like hit instead of like, and then I'm like instant regret.
Yes, reaction. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I can, even though the suckers move really fast.
They do. Yes, they do.
If I can, I try and save it.
Yes, you should definitely try to save it. Mm-hmm. Especially if it could be pregnant. You don't know it's pregnant. You smash it. Oh my God, and all the babies come out.
Yes. My dad did that before.
Oh yeah.
In the garage. Yeah. It went everywhere. My dad was like, I have never seen anything so awful in my life.
Not seeing it. You just killed a mother and all the babies that don't have a mother now.
Yeah.
So what the hell?
But like, he didn't know. Like, know, you know
of course,
what I mean?
You don't know. Yeah, yeah.
But like, oh my gosh. So
it's very scary. Mm-hmm. Very scary. Yeah.
Okay. Because those are mine. So I don't know if those sparked anything for you.
For me, hero-wise, God, I wish I saved a dog. Like, not saved it like from like anything, but I saved it. So I guess I'll tell you if it's a heroic thing. But I don't think it's like heroic, like wearing a cape, that kind of thing. But so when I was living in LA, I was by myself for the first 6 months and I was lonely and I was like, I miss my dogs. Cause I had two dogs that were up in the Bay with my fiance at the time, now wife. And I was like, we'll just maybe go to the shelter and look around. And I'm like, you can't take me to the shelter and look around.
You're like, I'll adopt all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. I will play with all of them and I'll end up taking all of them in my car and take them home. And so we did one of those things. We went to I went to the Humane Society when she came down to visit and saw a dog there. And I was like, and just immediately the song was playing In the Arms of an Angel. And she was in the back of the crate and she was like, and there's like not looking at anyone. And then I kind of got near it and she did one of those things where her eye peeked over and looked at me. And then we just had instant connection. She slowly walked up and the guy came around the corner. He's like, whoa. And I was like, what? He goes, that dog's awful. The dog doesn't want anything to do with anyone. It stays in the corner. It's like petrified. It's mean to everything. He's like, I can't believe you got it to come to you. He's like, what'd you do? I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just walked by the cage and this is what happened. He goes, well, do you want to pet her? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll pet her. And he goes, well, this is Miriam. And I was like, Miriam?
They always have the weirdest names.
Miriam? That's why no one likes this dog. His name is Miriam. They gave it a name for a dog that should never, and it was like, okay, whatever. So I start petting it, and it starts licking my hand. It's a little shaking, you know, because it's still whatever. I was like, what's the dog's story? He goes, so the original family had her, and they had kids, and she was a little hyper and jumps a lot. And I was like, okay, well, that's what dogs do.
Sounds like a dog.
It's like a dog. They don't get a dog if you don't want dogs that jump. And so it jumped a lot, and it was a little hyper, so then they brought it to us, and another family adopted it, and then same kind of thing, and then the third family adopted it, and then it was aggressive. I'm like, well, yeah, it's aggressive, because every time it's around humans, it probably falls in love, and then it gets disowned.
So
it probably just mentally is effed up in the head, and I get why she's that way.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
been returned three times. So I adopted her, brought her back to my apartment in Hollywood, and it was me, and I renamed her. I'm like, I'm gonna name her freaking Miriam. So I named her Birdie, Bird-E, like Bird E, like a rapper. So I named her Birdie, gave her a mohawk. She was my bitch. She was my everything. She was with me everywhere. I didn't say that in a derogatory way. You know, I call her that. She was my bitch.
This is a thing.
This is a thing. It's a female dog. That's technically what it is. But that's what she was. She was my bee. So I brought her around everywhere. She's my everything. She was great. So I feel like I saved her because I took her out of that that place and I had her for a while until I had kids. And then she became aggressive towards my first son. Like she nipped him once and I knew she was a little bit aggressive because she was also aggressive towards my other dogs. Once, I guess, long story short, my wife came back down. We got married. We all moved in together in a house.
Yeah.
I had a solidified gig in LA. So we were there. We were longstanding citizens of Los Angeles. So everything came together. Dogs came together. The new dogs had to meet, or the old dogs had to meet my new dog. They were kind of okay with her. Very standoffish, but everything was fine. But then when I had a kid, then maybe all those kids from the previous ones, trauma came back up again. Mm-hmm. And she started becoming aggressive. And I was like, oh, she's aggressive. I was like, that makes sense, though. And then I was just kind of kept her separated from my son and did all the things to make sure that they were separated. But then she lunged at him once. And I was like, Birdie. Like, no. And she immediately, kind of like how you squash a spider, you squash it and immediately go, oh, she would do that where she would lunge and I'm like, Birdie. And she'd go, oh, oh crap, sorry, like, you're not the bad people. Those other people are bad. You're good. I shouldn't do this. Because he was a kid. He was trying to like pet it, whatever, a little aggressive. And she got pissed and lunged at him. And then she went to lunge at him a second time a few months later. And she got him in the face, like really close to his eyes, and cut him. And he was bleeding. And I was like pissed. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I don't want to kill her. Because I was so angry that I was like, because she went after him. And I was like, oh my God. I could see myself picking her up and throwing her against the wall just in the fit of anger of like coming after my son. Just naturally, I'd be like, what the hell? And pick her up and throw her. Not saying I should do that, but I had this urge to be like, oh my fucking God, you just bit my son. And I was like, I can't do this to her because I love her so much. And if she does it again, I don't know if I can control myself. I was like, so I was like, we have to get rid of her. I was like, but I can't get rid of her because this has been her whole life story. So one day we were up in San Francisco, and I always brought her with me when we'd go up there to visit her wife's family. And it was my son's 1 year birthday. All these people are over, Birdie's there, and my gay best friend is over there. His name's Pacey, and he's with his man, and they were like talking about, oh, we think about getting a dog to try it out to see if we want to adopt a kid. And I was like, perfect. And I was like, and I was jokingly, my wife and I were like, almost like a used car salesman. This dog right here is perfect. She's wonderful. She's great for a one family household. You have no other pets. You both work opposite schedules because she's very needy and very attention. She would like push her. I loved her so much. It's so sad because she'd push herself into you. So sweet, so loving, but has that little thing wrong with her. And I was like, you guys are great though. You work mornings and he's home in the morning. He works nights. You're home at night. Like, this is the best scenario. I was like, we're going to be here for a week. Take her for a trial period. Take her home to Sacramento. You lived about an hour outside. Take her to Sacramento. You have a yard. Because we didn't have a yard in LA. We had a townhome. I was like, you have everything she needs. She needs attention. She needs a yard. And she needs no kids. And you're not having kids anytime soon. And if you adopt, they were talking about adopting an older kid. I was like, you're the best house for her. Try her out. And if you don't like her, we'll take her back. We'll deal with it. Day one, they both fell in love with her. He goes, we'll adopt her. We'll take her. Aww. And she was so happy. And I watch her on Instagram now. And she goes to Reno. She stays at resorts. She goes to ski resorts. She gets puppuccinos. She gets haircuts. She gets pedicures. She gets all these. Like, she gets pampered. She's living her absolute best life. Aww. So she's living a great life with me, but then now an even more elevated life with him. So I look at it as like, I guess if you could be the judge of this, I feel like I was a hero and I saved her because she could have been in that whole cycle again of that, which I felt like could have been her repeating story of that. It could have ended much worse, I felt like.
I do. You're a piece of her story. I do think there's a hero excited right. there. Yes.
Thank absolutely. You for justifying that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It was. It's a good one. And it's a great story for us to end on. So
yes,
Scuba,
it is.
Thank you for joining me and hanging out with me, sharing stories as always. Tell people where they can find you, hear you, listen to you, all that stuff.
Yes, they could find me at not AT. The at symbol where it looks like an A and has a circle around it.
I don't think we have to specify that anymore.
Yeah, so at, just what, you never know. I go through the voicemail line. You will be surprised on what I hear about a lot of things. So the at symbol, it's a case anyone's curious on your keyboard. It is a shift in the number 2. It'll get you the at symbol.
Yep.
So there's that.
Very specific.
Scuba Steve Radio.
Yes.
Scuba Steve.
But not on all the things. He's just on Twitter and Instagram.
Just Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, not on all the things.
Not on all the things.
Nope.
Well, the show is on all the things at Bobby Bones Show. You can check out there. And of course, BobbyBones.com has a lot of content for y'all to watch and hang out with. And I am at WebGirlMorgan on all the things. Scuba may not be, but I am on all the things, hanging out, posting things. And you guys can come hang out with me there whenever, ask questions in DM. But Scuba, thank you for being here. Thanks for geeking out with me and sharing the baby story.
Yes.
Great story.
Heck yes. Thank you.
All right. Bye, y'all. Have a good weekend.
The Bobby Bones Show. Bobby Bones.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone, goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at highfivecasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Flippy and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.